My next guest here on a monthly basis sharing news from our West Michigan community, gathering the good, the bad, and the ugly. Carol Aid, editor, Gemini Publications,
good
much under.
Morning,
good morning to
Shelley.
You. Yeah, I'm going to borrow your outfit and you're going to borrow mine. How's
yeah,
that
we're going to start this trade thing and double our options. Ooh, I like it.
That. We could work on some networking. Yeah.
Somebody will say, I've seen that outfit before somewhere for as much public stuff as we have to do.
Carol, pleasure.
No. Okay.
Yes. Hey, well, we can start at the by doing that at the top women-owned business event.
You
March.
Know, this is it's been a thrill for me for the almost decade that we've been recognizing the women who own businesses in the West Michigan community, the greater West Michigan community. And every other year, the Business Journal identifies and recognizes the top women owned businesses in the West Michigan region, and we're going to have a networking and lunch on March 15 announcing the top of the top in four revenue categories. We have a headliner speaker for that luncheon, very special woman we're very excited about, Rhonda Coleman, who at the age of 24 co-founded what is known as the Boston Beer Company, and more famously, Bruce Samuel Adams.
There's
this is a $3 billion market cap company now. And she just really emboldens and sparks a challenge, I think, for all women, no matter, you know, whether it's non-traditional or more traditional industries. And really, I think, puts a special froth, if you might, on the whole event this year. So we had record participation this year with 129 nominations of female business owners from the communities we serve. Of those 129, 59 women participated in the process, divided again by the revenue categories. And the Business Journal, using judges again from Southeast Michigan who are well recognized as business owners and leaders in the women-owned business community, helped us make the final selections of 29 finalists. So they are going to be identified, though they've been identified, their profiles will begin running in the next week.
So fun because, you know, the community in which we live, you might know someone at your luncheon, and some of those gals, I think, are best friends, and they're competitors for this. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it really is wonderful. We saw greater participation from minorities and from, as a women aren't, and also from younger women. So we're looking at, we're also going to be recognizing under 40 women who own businesses for their accomplishments, even if they did not win a particular category. A lot of, a few new things, you know, plugged into that this year, and I'm very, very excited about it. Very
before
excited.
Then. How do we get our tickets for that? I trust go on the website.
grbj.com. That's the easiest way to do it, or 459-4545.
Next up on your list?
Ooh, two of my favorite stories. Absolutely favorite stories so far this year. Who knew West Michigan cows could attract coffee producers making 250 million cans of latte and a $10 million expansion into Norton Shores in Muskegon County? The La Colombe coffee roasters went to Norton Shores after researching, you know, the number of cows in any given region, and then the quality of milk. And the CEO, Todd Carmichael, had told the Business Journal reporter covering this, the quality of milk, there's nowhere else in the country with the quality and quantity of cows. And so they're building this huge facility up in Norton Shores to make their coffee roaster latte, because it requires 7 ounces of milk in each can. So a $10 million plant, lots of new jobs, and a really interesting variety. Now, they are also saying they may surprise the West Michigan community this summer because they love to be community partners in all things local. So they want mm-hmm. to do little pop-up shops.
Okay.
With a taste of the beverage beginning this summer. So we'll have to look for that, watch for that in downtown Muskegon and up in Norton Shores. Right now, though, their only storefronts are in New York, Chicago, L.A., and D.C.
Good company to keep.
It would be so much fun. I love the cows.
Cows.
The cows
and the little
in
cans.
West Michigan.
They're cute little cans.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
I'm going to drink some of this.
Go for it. Just
sure.
You know, two might put you under, though, with the caffeine.
Yeah.
Carol A. with us again, talking business. You want to talk Bazzani?
I do. I want to talk about a B Corporation and an owner who has put his walking shoes on and matched it with the talk. There is so much discussion in the Grand Rapids community about diversity and inclusion and becoming more inclusive and changing, you know, the business community profile to reflect that diversity. Well, Bazzani is actually doing it. And he's setting up a business model that provides, you know, how you get involved, how you actually do these things and not just talk about it. You know, the Business Journal is sometimes criticized, well, those are all white guys that you're profiling. That is the business community in West Michigan. I can't take photos of Atlanta business leadership and pretend they live here. Nor can I take a Chicago skyline and say, this is Grand Rapids, isn't it look cool? You have to take what's real. Bazzani is doing this, and so I'm very excited for what they're doing in the West Michigan area. Their new business development managers are Scott Welch and his wife. And, yeah, pretty big stuff.
Yes.
And the couple also are moving from talking about it and teaching about it to being involved in providing, you know, opportunities in this business category for more minorities and to show where diversity comes from. A broader perspective, they say, and more diverse relationships create a more sustainable community and a stronger economy in the West Michigan area. So I'm very excited about both of those stories. Less excited to tell you about the parking surveys.
No.
Where we're at with that. The Business Journal, Shelley, we've been reporting in depth on the parking issues from the perspective of the business community for over 3 years. For 3 years, we've been reporting from the ranks of the CEOs, property owners, and those who lease downtown building space, saying there's greater and greater stress with every city parking lot that becomes a new development. The stress, I mean, you've just eliminated all these spaces, and they're not being replaced. The city's tried a mobility program that puts people on buses and takes them from the outer regions. But if you're a law firm, an accounting firm, a real estate firm, your clients are all over the region. You need access to your vehicle to move in and out of the downtown, or for your clients to come and participate in your business. And to keep your clients, you've got to have a place for them to park. So we've been covering the tensions in it. And in the GR Forward plan, talking about the changing the parking rates, expanding the spots to the outer areas, the near neighborhoods of Grand Rapids, people are choosing not to do that. As one commenter on the story this week noted, and a business owner with about 100 employees, you know, people are dealing with their rush hour. They're going over to the dash lots. They're waiting for the dash bus, all to get into work and become productive. And then if they need to come back and forth, you've got the time. It's non-productive time tied up in getting back to their vehicles and getting back out. So we're going to continue to follow this in the business community. And it's sadly, we've learned of a number of businesses, one with over 200 employees, another with over 600 total, all vacating spaces. And as the owner of X Ventures said last week and told the Business Journal in our reporting, it's important that people realize there are greater and greater gaps in the office sector in downtown, and with those people moving to the suburbs to avoid these problems. I mean, the employees aren't happy about it, but they can't, there's no place to park. After investing millions and millions of dollars in the revitalization of these buildings and becoming owners, they're losing their tenants. So we'll continue to follow this and any solutions the city might find for it.
Again, Carol Vallade with us, Editor Gemini Publications. Well, it's you want to do SXSW?
You know, I will tell you, though, I'll make a quick announcement here. Grand Rapids Business Journal also published some breaking news this week on GVSU's Board of Trustees and their ability to provide more parking.
Okay.
They're going to be leasing land owned currently by the Padnos Iron and Metal Company on the south end of the Robert C. Pugh campus here in downtown. And they're looking at a 10-year lease of that property if the city approves it. It could be completed by this fall. And it's another 300 parking spaces. The college board recognizes that there have been major parking problems among university staff and you know, for the most part, staff and less so students.
Okay, now fun stuff. All right, more fun stuff, yeah.
Get out of town.
All right.
How about to Austin?
Let's go to Austin.
For just a little while.
Book the flight.
But go with the Michigan House.
Yeah, what is this?
Created in Grand Rapids. It became, you know, loved by the state of Michigan and in all parts of Michigan. They bring multiple, you know, whether it's bands or artists and now planners and, you know, diversity experts all from the community, primarily West Michigan, together in what's called the West Michigan House. They take it to the South by Southwest festival and conference in Austin in March. And this year, Grand Rapids Mayor Rosalind Bliss will be joining the troupe. So talking specifically about economic inclusion efforts in the city, and really it becomes an opportunity in recruiting to the West Michigan area for the people who are participating. You know, some outstanding companies participating in this and sponsoring it this year, too. Whirlpool, Fabrical Corp, Art Prize, West Michigan Center for Art and Technology, Seamless, the Founders Brewing, of course, the Kalamazoo Band, Go Rounds, Wolverine Worldwide. It's just a wide variety of groups all participating and heading to Austin here in the next month. Nice. Cheers for that.
Cheers
for that. Bring them back.
I need a roving microphone to go with them. That would be kind of fun. All right. What's number six on your list?
What will you be making at age 34, Shelley?
Well, if I could turn back the clock, I was in a different career, and I'll just let it go there.
Well, you're one of those multi-choice. Yeah, let's reinvent the wheel. Go for it, Shelley.
I love what I do.
Oh, boy.
How about where you want to start
this? This is a really in-depth report on the local aspects of a national study led by a Stanford economist. And it used tax filings and financial aid statements from millions of post college students to create a college-by-college and university-by-university report card on income mobility and median wage rankings. The national report reveals that, well, and this is proven true in the West Michigan region as well, as we followed it down to the local level. Students who were going to a four-year college are earning quite a bit more at 34 than those who attended a two-year college. They took the statistics from 2000 and then measured them against what those young students then are now making at age 34 in this year. So Kalamazoo College beats all of the higher education institutions in the region with a median income of $53,700 for a 34-year-old graduating from that particular institution. One of the things that Michigan economists are looking at from this study is the common refrain he hears often from employers, parents, and politicians, that high school graduates could make higher wages by pursuing two-year degrees or occupational certificates instead of a traditional four-year degree. But the study shows that just doesn't hold out or hold steam past the age of 34. So, again, just very informational and very detailed information. We also have published a chart showing all of the local universities, GVSU, Western, University of Michigan, and then the private Calvin College, Aquinas, and all of the rest. So very interesting.
So that's available for one to read.
It is at grbj.com, and it is in the print issue this week.
That's great. All right, another four or five minutes left.
What will you make at 34?
Oh, well, okay. Turn back the clock. Can't do that. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Lots of things to accomplish,
more,
though. What? You want to go to the awards?
More awards. More awards. Boy, if you like the spirits, you know, and we thought we liked beer. We love the beer. Yeah, everybody loves the beer. The beer made in West Michigan is worldwide. It is got some tracks. So, well.
But we're not talking beer.
So is craft spirits.
Oh.
This is just a consuming town. This is artisan stuff. Okay, Long Road Distillers, once again, after winning world titles and golds, you know, around the world, they came back from a Tennessee-located convention of American Craft Spirits Association with Best in Show for its Aquavit, which is kind of a gin, but with a lot of absinthe. It's very tasty. I have had sips.
That a testimony? Yep.
It is. And they also won a gold medal. They won silver for their gin and a bronze for the cherry brandy. I can't say that I've tried it all.
Okay, that's on your list.
And these are with almost 40 states in the awards programs and 550 distilleries participating. Holland-based New Holland Artisan Spirits won two bronze for two of its gins, the Knickerbocker gin, which I recently tried at Terra GR. Very nice.
What's your job?
The local establishments using locally procured and made products. It's so good. Hand in glove here. New Holland also brought home silver for freshwater Michigan rum.
Oh, nice.
And bronze for Zeppelin Bend and Zeppelin Bend Reserve. It's very cool. Gray Skies, bronze medal for barrel finished hop gin.
Display those awards brightly. All right.
We're doing
it. One more minute for fouling in Cascade.
Well, you know, this one, I didn't know what they were talking about. Evidently, this has become a real thing over in East Michigan. And do you remember out in Cascade where the Family Fair store once anchored, you know, a kind of a strip mall shopping center just off of Cascade Road? Well, this is now becoming the Fouling Warehouse Fun Center, F-O-W-L-I-N-G. And this is where people throw footballs at bowling pins.
Oh, my goodness.
So it crosses football and bowling. So if you love to bowl and hate football, but your partner loves football and you
used to bowl,
I guess maybe it's a match made in heaven out here. It's too much fun. 30 lanes for games, two bars, TVs, stage, and seating for participants. It becomes competitive. The Cascade Township Board is looking at approving their liquor license.
I'm feeling excitement in your read
you
there.
You know, I'm going to try this. I got to see. I'm no good at fouling, or I mean football, so.
Yeah, but then you're a bowler. Let's just...
No, I took home a trophy once for the lowest score in the league.
Well, you took home the trophy.
67.
Okay, all right. Careful, Aid, how do we find out about these conversations and more?
GRBJ.com, GeminiPub.com, 459-4545. Got to subscribe. Got to find out what's going on in this town.
Got the number. All right, let's go fouling. Take care.
Cheers.